I wanted to read from the book of Mark because, as a lot of you know, that and going through Bible studies and your church experiences, that there is this thing called the Revised Common Lectionary, and it is a list. It goes in a 3-year cycle, and it gives a list of scripture lessons for each Sunday and each special worship service you had. In Holy Week, there's a scripture lesson suggested for every day of the week. So this is one. Mark here is the suggested reading from a different year than this year, but I wanted to use it for the reason that's going to come up here in a minute about what we're called to do as anticipating the big picture of Jesus' ministry. And what I want to read is the beginning with verse 24. Yep, 24. And we're going to start with 24, go down to the end of the chapter. This I'm going to be reading from the New Century Version. It's a more modern wording of the ancient Greek that was the gospel was written in. So it's kind of a conversational kind of English that we could use today. And it goes like this, starting with verse 24. During the days after this trouble comes, and this trouble that is talking about here is all the things that Jesus just talked about. During the days after this trouble comes, the sun will grow dark and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the people will see the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus. Then the people will see the Son of Man, Jesus, coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send his angels all around the earth to gather his chosen people from every part of the earth and from every part of heaven. Jesus goes on and says, learn a lesson from the fig tree. He's trying to explain to these humans that are listening to him. Now read the signs. Think about what you see. When its branches become green and soft and new leaves appear, you know summer's near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, these things meaning what Jesus just talked about earlier in chapter 13, when you see these things happening, you will know that it is time, the time is near, ready to come. I tell you the truth. All these things will happen while the people of this time are still living. Earth and sky will be destroyed, but the words I have said will never be destroyed. No one knows when the day or time will be, not the angels in heaven, not even the Son, but only the Father knows. Be careful. Always be ready. Because you don't know when that time will be. It is like a man who goes on a trip. He leaves his house and lets his servants take care of it, giving each one a special job to do. The man tells the servant guarding the door always to be watchful. So always be ready, because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back. It might be in the evening, or at midnight, or in the morning while it's still dark, or when the sun rises. Always be ready. Otherwise, he might come back suddenly and find you sleeping. I tell you this. And I say this to everyone. Be ready. This is the reading of God's Word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, in this time of year when we're caught up in shopping for grandkids and kids and spouses and friends, when we're caught up in the busyness of the season, we sometimes lose the spiritual insight of what a joyous time this is. It is the most wonderful time of the year because you are coming. Well, Lord, we ask that as we're gathered here at Cedar Grove this morning, you'll unstop the spiritual ears of each and every one of us so we can hear your word. We ask, O God, that you'll drive out of us, you'll purge from us all the earthly distractions that keep us from, as Donna says, the goal of being able to get to you and let you get to us. Purify us, Lord. Help us to hear what you would have to say. Help me to say what you would have to say, Lord, in spite of myself, that all of us might have just a good time being in worship. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name, God. And we all say, Amen. First day of December. Isn't it neat to be in church? First day of December. First day of Advent. What a great way to start out December. It's a great time to be together. What I want to talk about is the big picture, the truth of your and my religion and our religious journey. And that being that if you know that the stories about the lectionary are that the lectionary has an Old Testament reading and it has a reading from the Psalms. And it has a reading from the Gospels, and it has a reading from the rest of the New Testament. It has four suggested readings. The suggested reading, that is the companion reading for Mark, is from Isaiah. And I mention that because as we know in our spiritual journey, that what happened was that God makes things happen. Amen? I mean, God can make things happen. And blessed are you if you've had a spiritual event where something has happened that you know God has made this certain thing happen. I've had that happen many times, and it's pretty cool. So anyway, what we see is that Through the prophets, Isaiah being the one I'm referencing to, God was telling people that I know you're all in trouble. You humans are really struggling. Israel, Judah, which is Old Testament words for people of God. So, people of God, you're having a rough time. And I'm going to send to you the Anointed One. And so the prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, the other prophets, they all began to pick up on this Anointed One that God was going to send. The Messiah is the name for this Anointed One in Hebrew. The Greek version, the Greek reference for the Anointed One is what? You didn't know there was going to be a test, did you? Messiah is the Hebrew reference word for the Anointed One. And the Greek word is Christ. Christ. So, Jesus' last name is not Christ. Jesus Christ means Jesus, Messiah. So, what happens is that God said, I'm going to send you an anointed one. Well, in the 400 years, from the time of prophets ended till the time Jesus came, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the more politically active Herodians and the high priests and the teachers of the law, they were all polishing up this idea that there's an anointed one going to come. The Messiah is going to come. And they kept praying for it. Lord, God Almighty, El Shaddai, send us your Messiah where we need to be liberated. We need to be set free from captivity. So that was their prayers. And by golly, God was true to his promise. God made it happen. God sent the Messiah. Jesus. We like to see about it. We love it. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. We sing songs about that during Advent and Christmas season. We sing about how the Christ child is born. We sing about how it's just such an incredible, neat event. The angels were excited about it. They came down and told the shepherds. The shepherds were excited about it and went to look around for this Christ child. It was an exciting event. God has made it happen. So we know that that's part of the truth of our religion, the Christian religion. God promised to send the anointed one. God sent the anointed one. Jesus, when he did his ministry, he went along and it's a whole different sermon. Can't get into it. But what ends up happening, Jesus did his ministry and God will not overwhelm human free will. If humans want to be evil, wicked, mean and nasty, God will let us. God will let us. Case in point is World War I, World War II, the Civil War, the Korean War. God, if we human beings want to just fight each other and be mean to each other, God will let us. And in that, I say that because in the ministry of the Messiah, Jesus, who came to show us how to get along with each other and with ourselves, Jesus was overwhelmed by the planning of the religious people who you thought would know, be able to discern this idea of who Messiah was, and they killed him. They killed Jesus. In actuality, what we find, the doctrine of our faith is that Jesus sacrificed himself for you and me. He died for you and me. And in dying for us, as Scripture says in Paul's letters, Scripture says that because Jesus died for us, we humans are no longer enemies of God. In essence, because Jesus died and Jesus sacrificed himself for us, every human being on planet Earth is saved. All we have to do is reach out for the free gift of grace that God is giving us. Why people don't do that is beyond me. Maybe they don't understand it. So anyway, Jesus died, part of the plan. Jesus died, part of the truth of our religion. Jesus sacrificed himself. He died. He was raised by the power of God. For 40 days, he wandered around showing himself, as the Scripture says, to 500 some people so they could understand, wow, this is really true. Jesus is alive. This is cool. And as Jesus comes down to the end of those 40 days before Pentecost, he is telling people that he's leaving. And as he's leaving, he's helping them understand in the first chapter of Acts and in other places that he's coming back. Oh. We get hung up so much that Jesus, we're messed up. Jesus, through the prophet's plan to send an anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ, We know that. And in this Advent season, we sing and go through the Advent songs, and we sing Christmas carols, and we light Advent candles in the wreath, and we proclaim Jesus is coming and the Christ child is coming, and it's all pretty good. We believe that. The truth is this is the second part. The whole truth of our religion is that Jesus is coming back. And we ain't living like it. Think about this. I like this. I thought this was so cool. Verse 26 and 27. You ought to have this underlined in your Bible. This is so cool. Jesus is saying to the people, and mind you, after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit shows up, you begin to see references where the Holy Spirit helps the apostles, particularly the apostles, and the 12 disciples that are unique, and the other disciples, the Holy Spirit helps them understand and remember what Jesus said about Him coming back. And Jesus, they begin to understand this. They remember it. Oh, do you remember how Jesus said this? Well, this is part of the thing. Think about Jesus saying this. Then the people, in verse 26, then the people will see the Son of Man, Jesus, coming in clouds with great power and glory. The people begin to understand. Jesus is coming back. And it's not going to be something like and to be mistaken. It is going to be as a human-made event. It's not. It is going to be an earth-shattering, a creation-shattering event that when it happens, you know this is the big one. It's not going to be confused with a nuclear attack from China or Russia or an EMP going off that's going to kill all of our electricity. It's not going to be any human-made situation. It's going to be the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. Those kind of things when you realize this is it. And then you're sitting around in your kitchen table or you're sitting at your in your TV, in your living room, you're watching My 600-Pound Life. My wife loves to watch that show. Ugh, so awful. Or you're sitting in your house, or you're driving your car, or you're down walking through the mall, or you're walking through a hardware store. You're at work and whatever it may be, and all of a sudden this powerful, incredible event happens. And you know it's God. When I used to do youth ministry and I'd talk to kids, that I'd have them kind of think, I'd get some sand that I found somewhere, hopefully along the beach, and I'd have them put a grain, one, think of this, imagine this imagery here, one grain of sand in the palm of their hand, and I'd have them look at that. You see that? And just a little tiny grain of sand. That's the kind of power and glory God has, because you look at that and that's how God holds planet Earth. Whoa. This is not going to be a big God showing up. Jesus showing up is not going to be a big, tough Rambo type of person. This is going to be God show up in glory. And in that moment, you're going to understand, as you remember this, guys. Look what it says. Look what Jesus says to those people when He shows up. Then Jesus will send His angels all around the earth to gather His chosen people from every part of the earth and from every part of heaven. You're there and you're in your house, you're in driving, and you're at work, you're in the mall, you're in the hardware store, and an angel, whatever form is going to happen, comes down and spiritually grasps hold of you and takes you to paradise. Takes you to comfort. takes you away to genuine inner peace. No more stress, no more anxiety. An angel shows up and grasps hold of you and says, "Come on, Dawn, let's go be with Jesus." Or says your name, "Come on, Donna, let's go be with Jesus." Is that cool? Amen. Does that not just bring chills to your spine, raise the hair up on the back of your neck to try to really digest that imagery that God, so incredibly powerful, holding earth in the palm of His hand like it's a grain of sand, sends His myriads and myriads of angels, like mentioned in the book of Revelation, to the earth, and God is picking up His chosen. That idea, that's part of the whole truth of our religion. And that idea that Jesus was coming back became kind of like throwing gasoline on a fire for the early church. It became a driving power, a driving force. It became energy. It became a fountain of love and a fountain of motivation for the early disciples. They called it apostolic zeal, in which the apostles and the early disciples chose to live differently because they knew Jesus is coming back. For them, they thought He may be coming back in a couple weeks or maybe a month or two. They thought it was soon. And it changed the way they lived. Fullness and joy and ready to do the kingdom's work. That's important to realize about just being watching, about being people who watch and prepared for this big event. It may happen. Jesus may come back after church today. It may happen today. And you know, as ministers should say this, I say this not to scare you as much as to just gain that new revive truth in your understanding of our Christian religion, and that is, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. The church, this church, is going to have a motivation to do the work of the kingdom. We want to help people be ready for it. And it gives us fullness of life to know Jesus is coming back. What hope. And the angels are going to come down and swoop us away. I hope mine shows up on a motorcycle. Isn't it cool? Angels are going to come and get us. Amen?
Amen.
God, we ask that You'd help us. Help us to, in our spiritual mind, in our moments of devotion and meditation on Scripture, help us to see and feel what it's going to be like when Your angels come and grasp hold of us and take us to You. Help us to be ready for Your return, Jesus. Help us to be not sleeping, not caught up in arguments. Help us to be full of love and mercy, compassion, to help people. And help us to be the people You would have us to be while we wait for You to return. We're excited, Lord. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all say, Amen. Amen.